This important podcast is brought to you by the Health Ranger Store, offering a wide selection of prepping and survival products, including nutritional solutions and storable certified organic superfoods. Check out our full selection at healthrangerstore.com/prep with Mike. Thank you for your support. It feels so good to exercise with a punching bag and do some striking exercise again, which I hadn't done for a couple of years. I'd done other kinds of exercise. I always do strength training. I always do cardio. I always do ranch work, which is, you know, requires a lot of exercise. I work in a chainsaw, moving logs for winter, you know, for heat, moving bags of grain around, fixing tractor equipment. You know, it's a form of exercise, but I didn't have a punching bag, a striking bag set up for quite a while. Now I've got one set up again, and it feels so good. I just miss all the Krav Maga training that I used to do years ago, and it all comes right back. I mean, my knuckles aren't as hard and firm as they used to be, but hey, give it 4 or 6 months, it'll be right back there where it was. And the striking never goes away. You know, elbow strikes, knee strikes, different kinds of kicks and leg strikes, and different kinds of punching, you know, undercut, straight jabs, overhand punching, everything. You know, it all comes right back. I also train with edge weapons. And this was one of the things that I did a lot several years ago, was to really train in edge weapons combat and also defending against edge weapons, which is usually run as fast as you can, basically, is how that works. You do not want to engage an edge weapon. I would rather engage someone who has a pistol than someone who has a knife, by far, because I can control a pistol, but you can't control a knife. For example, you can grab a pistol. You don't want to grab a knife. You'll lose some fingers, okay? So knife defense is usually, you know, you either shoot the person or you run away. You do not want to start getting cut and stabbed with knives. But I do edge weapons training, so I have training knives, which are, of course, well, there's either rubber blades or there's rounded steel blades, depending on the knife. And so you can actually practice strikes, knife strikes, cuts, different kinds of motions against a striking bag. So when you have a striking bag up, you can do a lot of knife training. And knife training, I'm not going to get into all the details here, but if you're interested in edge weapons combat, I recommend that you first get a couple of years of some real good street fighting, hand-to-hand combat like Krav Maga, which is an Israeli fighting art. And in fact, I tend to recommend Krav Maga above everything else. And if you like the Israeli arts of self-defense and striking, then buy a Tavor rifle too, by the way, or buy a Galil. You know, just go all Israeli, man. just do Israeli training all the way through, from punching, striking, weapon takeaways, and then get yourself a bullpup Tavor rifle and go full Israeli if you want. I like Tavor rifles, and I like Krav Maga. The Israeli combat experts are truly probably the best fighters in the world in terms of actual real-world engagement, as far as I'm concerned. I know there's a lot of Russian fighters that are damn good that you don't want to mess with. And I know there's a lot of stuff in MMA, and, you know, a lot of people are training in MMA, and people are, you know, learning how to fight in MMA and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and ground fighting and everything. And that's great. Nothing wrong with that. But I got to say, MMA fighting is not the same as fight for your life survival combat fighting. And the reason, which I'll explain here, is it all comes down to the rules of MMA. What are the things that you're not allowed to do in MMA fighting? And by the way, for those of you who don't know, MMA means mixed martial arts. What are the three things, I think it's basically three things, that you're not allowed to do in MMA? Think about it. You're not allowed to pull people's hair. You're not allowed to bite. And you're not allowed to kick them in the balls, right? Those three, oh wait, you're not allowed to eye gouge either, right? So that's four things. No hair pulling, no eye gouging, no biting, and no kicking them in the balls. Why do you think those four things are illegal to do in mixed martial arts? The answer is because they instantly end fights. Think about it. If you get eye gouged, the fight's probably over. If you get racked in the balls hard with a knee, for example, or a backhanded fist, the fight's over. You know, if you're a guy, I guess. if you're not a guy, maybe you can take a punch in the crotch. I don't know. Maybe we should ask some other experts in that area. But most fights are between guys, and most guys have vulnerable areas, I'll just say. If you bite someone, and this is a great self-defense technique for women especially, and if you take anti-rape training or, you know, rape prevention combat training, which I recommend you do if you are a woman, one of the things you learn is to bite and scratch the crap out of your opponent. Bite their nose off. Bite an ear off. Bite them on the hand. Rip a piece of flesh off and make them bleed. Why? Why is that illegal in MMA? Because it ends fights. It makes people panic or surrender. And if you're a woman, if you take a big chunk of flesh off of some bad guy, and then while he's distracted, then you kick him in the balls. Now the fight's doubly over. You gouge him in the eye. You know? Now, believe me, you've won that fight. If it's just with one individual anyway, which most fights are. So I don't mean to get totally graphic about all of this. However, we are talking about situations where it's self-defense, where sometimes you're fighting for your life. Sometimes there's a rapist trying to rape you. Sometimes there's a murderer trying to kill you or kill a family member or steal from you or maybe shoot you or what have you. So if you're going to have any serious talk about combat and striking, which means, you know, punching, hitting, kicking, and so on, or as weapons combat or street fighting, you have to have an actual conversation about how to destroy your opponent in the fastest and most efficient way possible. And those methods come down to the things that are illegal to do in mixed martial arts, the things that I just mentioned. So that's why mixed martial arts training is very, very good for fitness, but it can also give you some bad habits. It can make you afraid to eye gouge someone because you're trained not to. It can make you avoid kicking somebody in the balls because you've been trained not to. The very first thing you should do if you're in a fight with a male, you should try to find a way to kick him in the balls or knee them in the nose or gouge him in the eye or preferably all three in rapid succession and then lay in another kick to the balls just to be sure. You got to think differently when you're fighting for your life. You're fighting for survival. And so to get back to what I opened this up with, a striking punching bag is a great way to practice some of the basic physical skills behind this. How do you knee someone in the crotch? How do you knee someone in the face? How do you elbow someone in the temple and knock them unconscious? How do you eye gouge? How do you scratch? How do you bite someone? All of these things are valid. If you have a knife, if you have an edged weapon and you're defending yourself because you have a right to self-defense, right? Where do you cut the person? Where do you slice? Because if you don't know that, if you don't know human anatomy, then you're probably cutting in all the wrong places and it's not effective. and I'm not going to lay all that out here. That's not what this is all about. If you go get knife combat training after you've got a couple of years of self-defense training in other areas, you will learn basic human anatomy. You will learn that if you're going to deploy a knife in defense of your life and your property or your family, that there is a proper way to deploy a knife. And there is an improper way to deploy a knife that will just get you, you know, it won't get you the effects that you're looking for, which is to stop a violent attacker. So, and the overlay benefit of all this is fitness. You will become more fit. You will strengthen your shoulders, your arms, your spine, your neck muscles. You will become stronger, more fit, more agile, more coordinated. It has a mind-body benefit that is very, very powerful. So get yourself a punching bag is bottom line of what I'm trying to say here. Hang it up, chain it up, however you need to mount it, and give yourself some fitness benefits and give yourself some combat benefits. Go get some training. And wear like a wrist brace or wrist wraps if you have weak wrists so you don't sprain yourself, you know. But do it safely, get some training. But I encourage you to start working out with a striking bag, because the benefits are way beyond exercise. The benefits are also self-defense. And these skills that you're practicing could one day save your life. Thanks for listening. Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger. For naturalnews.com, be safe, everybody. And remember, especially all the women listening, you have the right to defend yourself. Do not hesitate. Do not hold back against an attacker. Get trained. Learn how to deploy massive violence to stop violence. That's what hand-to-hand combat is all about. Thanks for listening.
Learn more at healthrangerreport.com.
When it comes to prepping, you not only need good products that can help keep you alive, awake, aware, and nourished during difficult times, you also need products you can trust. At the Health Ranger store, we do extensive laboratory testing using an in-house lab that's ISO accredited. It's inspected, it's audited. It's a 2-year process to even get that accreditation. We use multiple mass spec instruments, state-of-the-art science. I'm a published science author as well and a patent holder on several technologies, some of which we use variations of in our lab. The purpose of this lab is to help you make sure you get clean foods, superfoods, storable foods for emergency preparedness and survival use. We have a certified organic lab-tested, what's called Ranger Bucket collection of storable foods with some survival gear in the buckets to help you even boil water and cook those foods and so on. It's a fantastic product. We can barely keep it in stock, even during normal times. In a crisis, we'll be wiped out of this product because it actually takes us a lot of time to make those products. But if they're in stock, you can get them now at healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike. In fact, go to that URL, healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike, and you'll see some of our survival and preparedness supplies, including iodine, colloidal silver products, and gel first aid products, storable foods, superfoods, medicinal herbs for first aid, and much more. We have a lot of products for you to help you be self-reliant, to be safe, to survive difficult circumstances, natural disasters, and all kinds of things. If you want to get prepared, do it with us at the Health Ranger store so that you know you're getting safe, clean, laboratory-verified preparedness foods, supplements, and other related products. Again, the URL is healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike. All one word, no spaces. Prep with Mike. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for your support.